Hi, I'm AK Baby Doo.
Hey, everyone. You're tuned into the False Graves podcast. I'm your host, AK Baby Doo, and this is a podcast dedicated to family friendly listening and recapturing childhood innocence.
And I am the fur man, so let's bring it on, boys. Some young scrolls. Scrolls, love you.
Love you. A true lord. Lord of the tonal.
A lord of the light, if I were to go and say. If I were going to go ahead and name a hedonist of the week,
yeah.
Hedonist of the week, it would be Ninja Scrolls.
Young Scrolls.
Young Scrolls.
Yes, Young Scrolls.
Oh, sorry, I'm a little bit dyslexic and dialectic.
So, the problem with facts. Before we get into the deep meat of tonight, there's a lot to cover.
Okay, so let's chew on the gristle.
First off, the Furman is back from his well-deserved hiatus. Yep. He has been... on a health bender like you could not imagine.
I have been eating nothing but the grass and nothing but the manna of the world that has been.
He's still a little out of it from all the drugs he got at the hospital. So, like, he's not even talking into the mic.
Drugs?
Prescription drugs, well, sir.
Are you trying to go ahead and accuse me of not being a tip master, sir?
Your tip game's more off than I've ever seen it.
Oh my god. Anyway, so as I was saying, no.
How's it been like? What have you been up to? You know, I had a replacement for you.
Well, I've been having carrot cleanses, and I have been having celery replace that, and then I've had a little bit of cabbage in between, which was the absolute worst. If you're gonna go ahead and do a cleanse, do not do celery.
Why do you feel like you needed to do a cleanse?
And well, the crickets, they were wiggling and a jiggling and a slooping and a sloping. And when your butthole tickles, AKA, when your butthole tickles, you're gonna want to go ahead and you're gonna want to make some changes.
I understand that. I was thinking about that myself a few days after eating the cricket. I'm like, what if? What if I feel a wiggle?
Well, those guys, those ones that I swallowed for you in season one, check it out. We eat crickets and three reasons why it's good.
Yeah.
they were a wiggling and a jiggling.
Yeah.
And, tickled my beehole in a way that wasn't very good.
Well, a common misconception about crickets is that they're going to digest like a normal food.
Oh.
But what you got to understand is the shell of a cricket is actually made out of the same thing corn kernels are made out of.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Pinocchio.
And so if you've ever eaten corn and then looked at your poop, I think you'll get an idea of what I'm describing here.
Oh, man. Those ones that I did in the wine flute, check out the subs.
See, the crickets have adapted an exoskeleton.
To not be digested by booty juice. Which I wish I was made aware of before our fans, which, by the way, 10,000 subs, I'm eating pig feet, live on screen.
Yeah. So, but you're back. I'm so glad to have you back. I mean, there's something about you. There's an aura. I would say you're very high on aura points.
Oh, aura or anger, because like I have got some energy for you.
Yeah. I've heard some stuff about your evening concerning Sheila.
Fucking Sheila. Oh, God. Can we go ahead and get all of the chat to go ahead and cancel her? Because...
what has she done to you?
Okay, she ran over my dog, which she has enjoyed petting over the last 10 years. She has walked over, and then Sheila pet her, which we're going to go ahead and let's throw out a name. Chat, name?
Yeah. Oh, cancel Sheila. That could be the name.
Okay. Cancel Sheila. Got pet. Oh, that's great. And then Sheila ran her over, which already a 12 gauge enema.
You've got a rough history with dogs.
Oh, no, I got a rough history with bitches. There's a difference.
So what did Sheila do? She ran over your dog.
And then she did. She had been over there for 10 years. She had been over there.
She's kind of like a co-parent.
Exactly.
To this dog.
And she had been there for years. Oh, I hate your dog, but also I'll pet her. Oh, actually, you know what? Oh, y'all. And then she runs over her. I offer her in my heart place, you know.
Out of the kindness of your heart.
In the kindness of my heart, chat.
Because the kindness of average man is this high, okay? The kindness of the tip whisperer, it's tenfold. It's like the Grinch, but even more so.
I will suckle at the tip for kindness.
You do.
But
I've seen it.
This man watched me
Sheila
fucking get shit on when I was like, look, I know you ran over my pup. But I will offer the ashes to you. Okay. Because you two have had a history. She decides to go ahead and say, fuck you. Fuck your dog. Fuck your life. Oh! Oh, it hurts!
She didn't want your offering. Or she didn't even... Not only that, she shat on your offering. But why?
A diarrhea salute, my man.
It was an act of kindness. Why would you throw shit on kindness?
For 10 years worth of kindness. My God. Like, yeah. This bitch. Oh, sorry. This woman of discerning gender identification. However.
A non-binary,
exactly.
You will.
But a bitch nonetheless.
You can be both.
Exactly. Exactly. Look, everybody in the chat, you can go ahead and be a man, a woman. I'm part of the MMBA or the MLLA.
Or the IBTC.
Exactly. And you can still be a bitch.
So you're taking this a little bit personal.
Oh, I am. This dog was great. This pup was the pupper to end all puppers. This one was one that would walk up to babies and fucking make sure they don't walk into the street. It was
that kind of pupper.
It was that kind of pupper.
That's like some Air Bud type pupper.
That was the Air Buds in space.
So you're out here presenting Air Bud's ashes.
And I still get told, get fucked with a side of fuckuccino.
After all you've done.
Oh!
After all you've given, you're still getting told to fuck off.
I want to punch this mic so hard because I wish it was Sheila's face.
Hey, if you're intimidated by the tip, just say that.
No, I've never been intimidated. I've never been intimidated by a tip. But, like, I just cannot fathom the audacity that you would go ahead and pet this pup for 10 plus years and then do this. Oh, I ran her over.
It's life.
That's life.
Oh, that's life. It's funny how it seems. Nah. Hell no, Sheila. Sheila, look at me. In my sunglasses. Fuck you. I hope that you get ran over.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm sorry. Going ahead and moving on to the next topic, though.
But let me pose a theoretical before we move on.
Let's go.
If Sheila got ran over
by Kamala Harris
and she got cremated,
mm.
would you spread her ashes? If you knew where her ashes were meant to be spread.
Wait, Sheila across the street or Sheila random?
Sheila across the street. She wants her ashes spread at X location after what she's done.
Mm.
Would you honor that? I wager you would because you're that generous of a man.
See, the problem being is that Sheila is such a bitch to go ahead and do that shit. I would literally pour her ashes in a chili and I would feed it to her kids. Just make sure they get tore up one more time before she passes.
So Sheila's got kids.
Well, I mean,
two. At least a couple.
Well, I mean, the ones that threw rocks at my fucking car.
Yeah.
Check out episode 2.
So, got a lot to cover tonight.
Give it to me.
I'll start off.
I've been away for a while.
Yeah. I'll start off early with the Lightbringer of the Week.
Lightbringer of the Week.
Not every day somebody just shows up that's an easy candidate for Lightbringer of the Week.
Like the sauce.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, love you, sauce. You been here. You did your due diligence.
He did the job. The sauce came in and made it saucy.
Hey. 100%.
But Lightbringer of the Week, I got to give it to Mr. Donald J. Trump for his appearance at McDonald's.
At the Mac of Donald's?
Surely you've seen it.
No.
You haven't seen it?
No.
You're
I turned off my phone because bullshit. Of fucking Sheila.
No, so you didn't catch Donald Trump pulling a shift at McDonald's.
He pulled a whole shift?
You got to see these clips if you haven't seen them.
Dude, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Donald J. Trump pulled a shift at McDonald's.
Dude, you're fucking with
no.
me.
No. So, you know, Kamala at one point in her campaign had talked about she used to work at McDonald's.
Oh, get the fuck. No, and people, the fuck she didn't.
And people claim that she never worked at McDonald's. Maybe she didn't. I really don't know. But a lot of people have fact-checked it and say she never worked there. So Trump, you know, part of it's trolling and part of it's just, like, being with the people.
Well, I mean, half of his fucking campaigns are now like, oh, well, Brett is fucking $350 a fucking loaf.
Trump decided to go do a shift at McDonald's. And it is... The thing about Trump is it came off as so genuine, so, like, heartfelt.
Personal.
So personal. And it's just, it brought a smile to my face. Like, every clip brought a smile to my face. So he worked the fries.
Okay.
He worked the window and the fries.
Okay, well, fair. Wait. Let's go ahead and pause for a second. Hey, chat, let's pause. But the fact this man can take a bullet to the ear and then almost take one to the heart on his own golf course.
Yeah.
And then show up for shit at McDonald's.
Yeah. You gotta, you know, sometime after the pod, you gotta check out these clips. They're great.
Which we'll have linked in there. But, like, my God, this is jerking my gherkin. This is tickling my pickle right now.
Mr. Trump, he pulled a shift at McDonald's. He made some fries. He handed it out the window, and he covered it all. I mean, for a billionaire, you know.
Like, for real.
Yeah. It's great.
Get the fuck out of my face. No way.
It's great. And it just came off as genuine. There's times where a politician will pull like a photo op or a political stunt, and you can't help but feel like It's just for votes. It's just for public appearance.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But whether he's a master of appearance or whether he's genuinely good.
Oh, yeah.
He killed this event.
Which you've got your Miltons and shit like that flying into fucking trying to go ahead and like get some votes in.
Yeah.
But like the fact that he's actually willing to put boots on the ground.
100%.
I mean,
some red boots.
Some respect on his name. Some respect.
Yeah.
Like,
and there's some criticism on the left saying, well, it was staged. You know, they vetted who was coming through the drive-thru when he was working. And I'm like, well, of course. He's got Secret Service on staff. Like, they're going to make sure somebody doesn't pull up to the drive-thru with a Glock. You've seen American drive-thrus.
Dude, seriously. If you get a small fry when you're getting a medium fry, like...
You're getting a side order of 9mm. Like,
if you're lucky.
American consumers are like that. We pull up to the window locked and loaded.
You damn right. Like that is like we fucking show up or we don't show up.
The
we either fucking have Americans at the driveway or we have Canadians.
I've seen videos of Americans shooting through the drive-thru. Hell, I've even seen videos of the workers shooting at the customers in the drive-thru. It's a hostile situation.
And I think you might be thinking like Waffle House at this point, if you're thinking shooting out.
Burger King was where the employee shot at the customer, and then there was many events of the customer shooting at the employees.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like most of them didn't end up getting that accidental fucking onion.
Yeah, true. But this man, having already been shot at two or three times this year, shows up at a drive-thru, which is now competing with taxi cab driver in terms of the most dangerous jobs you can have in America.
Taxi drivers, hey, from the Big Mommy Milkers Association, we praise you.
Well, you know, 10 years ago, you fuck up somebody's McChicken, and they're just like, leave a 1-star review, right? But today, you mess up somebody's order, they're pulling out the 9.
Oh, if you're lucky, it ain't a 38.
It's not an AK-47. Oh, it's right God. There in
if
the
you're lucky, through. If you're lucky, it ain't that.
Will you be using the mobile app today? No, but I am locked and loaded.
If you're lucky, I won't go ahead and leave you a 1-star review. Oh, God, please don't.
But yeah, it brought a smile to my face. I like to see it. And there are people calling him, maybe he's like America's Princess Diana.
Do what?
Like Trump might be our Princess Diana.
And so you're going to have to fucking die in a fucking tunnel crush? Allegedly. For the chat that isn't watching, I'm using air quotes. Allegedly.
Yeah. So, yeah, he pulled a shift, made some fries, took some orders, greeted people at the window. I really liked it.
I would have loved for him to be like, them to come back. There's not enough salt.
Well, there's rumors. He actually added some extra to the order. Like, you know, a 6-piece nugget, Trump was given 7. He's that kind of guy. Fuck. No, that's what they're saying. He's no that way. Generous. Yeah.
No fucking way.
That's why they let him go after the shift. He was cutting into the profits.
He gave a 10, but he actually gave an 11.
They fired his ass for that. They're like, look, you know, you're Trump and all, but you can't be cutting into these profits.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was 8 years old, and I was fucking counting those 4 pieces. I was like, 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. Hey, wait, we got to turn around. We're already 30 miles back. We got to turn around.
So before we get off this topic, kind of tying into some of the chat comments, we got somebody going, McDonald's made a statement that they had no records of Kamala working there when she claimed to.
Oh.
But McDonald's put out a statement concerning Trump working there. And it was, for one, I've seen people trying to blame McDonald's for allowing him to work a shift. They're like, should we hold McDonald's accountable?
Well, we should. Well,
and they're a franchise. And the way that the franchise is worked out, they get a good amount of liberty. Some franchises, you get no liberty. You're like an owner, but like a slave at the same time. Yeah, right?
Well, because you got to go ahead and keep that level of level.
Like, well, there's the corporate level, and then there's like the franchisee owner level.
Well, you have Waffle House levels.
Right.
You have Waffle House levels, which you'll go ahead and throw hands when somebody throws into a Western omelet at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if you got like four, then you get four.
Right.
Which is your McDonald's levels. So, and, like, we.
And so they're like, well, McDonald's as a corporation can't ban Trump from working there. The franchise owner has the liberty.
He's going to be the possible, which, again, on this podcast, possible Big Daddy president.
Yeah. But I want to give a shout out to McDonald's for their statement as well, because there's two parts to it.
Mm.
One is they had commented on they're not taking political sides. Mm. They're not left or right. We've maintained staying out of politics, and we're going to remain that way. And I just want to say hats off to you, McDonald's. You're a company that makes money. And you understand, we don't give two fucks about your political opinion. Thank you.
You're here for cheap food at a good price.
Yeah. You're here for a Big Mac, not to tell me to vote for fucking Trump or Kamala. So thank you, guys.
Again, staying out of it.
Yeah, that's a wise decision.
Again, like fucking making sure that a medium fries is at a medium fries price.
Yeah. And so they make this claim that they're neutral, they're not left or right, red or blue, but they issued this one other part in the statement.
Well, I mean,
if that it was, I felt was a shadow endorsement. Now, I want to coin the term shadow endorsing or sneak, you know, there's sneak dissing and then there's sneak endorsing.
I mean, hey, fairness where fairness is due, because like Trump could have fucking slipped in a 10th nugget, but you know, I mean,
and so they,
I'm over here
in this statement, they go, we're not red or blue, we're golden. The golden arches. Okay, right? And here's where I'm going, is this a sneak endorsement? Trump's whole brand is golden. The golden tee, the golden Trump name, the golden building he has in Vegas.
The Trump's golden is fucking his fucking golden ass. what you hit with that golf club, his golden golf club.
If there's any man synonymous with gold, I would say it's Trump. And so when they made sure to specify golden, like we're not red or blue, we're golden, I kind of feel like they were sneak endorsing Trump with that statement. Well, golden man, golden arches. It's McDonald's. It's Donald Trump.
Then we got them golden arches. We got them golden fries, you know.
I'm just saying.
I mean, you're not wrong.
So I think maybe McDonald's is actually a Trump supporter, but I respect
the and medium I appreciate fries
their decision.
Is Donald Trump. All right.
Trump's a medium fry?
Yeah. I mean,
you don't think he's a large fry?
Well, large fry is a bit outside for the normal American, but like,
give me your reasoning on why Trump's a medium fry.
Because medium fry is what you want when you are halfway drunk. You want that all the way through. Am I wrong?
You're probably right.
Exactly. You slide through. You go to the first window, which they never take your card. Am I wrong, chat? Right. No. So, you slide through to the medium, your medium fry.
Yeah.
And they salt it just right. That's Trump, boy.
And he's always kind of been a promoter of McDonald's.
Exactly.
So they kind of go way back.
They want to be the middle of the business. Not small, not large. They want to make it medium.
Right.
But like being that medium fry.
So a question. You say you're halfway drunk, you want a medium fry. Would you then say if a liberal was a little drunk, they might actually prefer Trump over Kamala?
Oh, no. I'd say they would prefer a small, which would be Camilla. For just to go ahead and put it on the front of their car. Oh, well, I fucking love Camilla, even though she's fucking locked up half of her goddamn state.
You order a small fry bumper sticker. When I go to McDonald's, I order the small fry.
Exactly. Like, pull up before the second fucking window.
Yeah.
Absolutely, dude.
But let's expand on that and do a bit of a topic switch. Because I want to talk about the difference between substance abuse between conservatives and liberals.
Oh.
Because that made me think. Because I would wager that
this is going to be a deep episode, isn't it?
I mean, maybe this topic, but I'm curious at your take. I'd wager most conservatives, the substance abuse of their choice is going to be alcohol. I feel like there's way more conservative alcoholics than there are liberal ones.
Oh.
Like, well, I feel like liberals are more into different kinds of drugs.
Psychedelics.
Yeah, weed, obviously, but that can kind of cross both. But more so, I would say, to the left, right? And so, I do feel like conservatives tend to be more of the alcoholics, and liberals tend to be more of the varied drug users. What do you think?
Well, I mean, for the chat, just know, I'm more on the liberal side than I am on the conservative side, which, obviously, my co-host is very stuck on, but
I'm not a conservative at heart.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, I am very stuck on every single drug, but I am neither or, because I don't feel like my vote counts towards a larger majority.
Yeah, you're a bit of a meta in a sense, because you're not just using everything.
Yeah,
you're using all the substances, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I've got caffeine,
nicotine,
and a whole lot of attitude, and everything in between.
But no, I do think it's if you were to run a study on the drug of choice of a liberal, or the substance of choice of a liberal versus a conservative, I think you'd end up with conservatives greatly leading in alcohol.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's socially acceptable.
Yeah. Well, I think liquor... Well,
I mean, if you had meth on every other corner at the McDonald's, like, hey, let's go ahead and just smoke a little crack pipe.
Well, I think liquor very much applies to the base mind, like the more straightforward animalistic mindset. So, like, if you've got a belief system and a set of urges, a set of desires, when you drink, you only become more uninhibited towards them. Like, it doesn't change your mind about anything.
I would argue that it's the acceptability from your conservative friends.
Right.
You only have a certain amount of friends.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, a certain amount of close friends, for sure.
Yeah. No, if they're all doing meth, and they hand you a crack pipe, and they're like, you know, hey, let's go ahead and do a little bit crack.
Yeah.
Then you'd be doing crack.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, because, like, I don't want to be square.
But if your friends were all doing crack, I'm going, they're probably more likely to be liberals.
What, you wouldn't be wrong, because, like, conservatives would be like, I don't want to go ahead and do crack. But the liberals would be like, you know, let me go ahead and taste it at least, you know, once before I say no.
Right. Because they're more experimental. Liberals tend to be more experimental. And you can see that by their sex changes.
Oh, dude, don't even get me started.
Well, that's experimental if there's anything. If you want to call something experimental, it's hard to say there's anything more.
I have an aunt uncle that would go ahead and argue that fucking point.
You mean uncle aunt? Uncle aunt?
A gent, as it were.
That'll be the... We used to have pronouns for individuals. We're going to come up with pronouns for our...
We have a gent on the chat now.
But yeah, it's like... I do think liberals are far more versed in mixing up their substances. And conservatives are like sticking to the straight and narrow. Give me a old-fashioned after a hard day's work.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, fucking... To those who do... Salute. But to those who don't, salute.
I think most conservatives would benefit greatly from a psychedelic experience. Like 90% of conservatives would be better off having tried psychedelics. I truly believe that.
Just peyote or LSD or anything. And this is a small margin that me and him actually fucking rely on.
Yeah.
Like, I believe that an ego death,
it's necessary.
Which is very fucking solemn to happen. But to go ahead and strip yourself and then be part with humanity, which is very, again, solemn.
I want to talk about ego death a little.
Go for it.
So it's less about ego death and more gripe of psychedelic users. And it's this. One thing about a psychedelic experience and stripping yourself of ego is I do believe it's a temporary experience. Like not just the psychedelic part, but the ego death is temporary. Like it grows back.
Yeah, because like you have those small parts that burrow into you like basically goat heads.
And psychedelic users, in my experience,
which is me,
there's a couple, but they tend to fall in the same category as vegans of old. Like one thing you know about a vegan is they're vegan. They're going to tell your ass they're a vegan. And it's the same way with the dude who did LSD, who did ayahuasca. He's like, oh, my ego death. I ain't got no ego now.
No, never.
But it's said in almost an egotistical way, like, you guys over there suffering with your materialism.
I can't believe you with your capitalism.
Well, I did DMT in an alley 10 years ago, and I just don't want anything anymore. I couldn't be me. Sorry, material lovers. Like, they have that. Like, these people have that persona, I feel like.
What?
Tell me you haven't heard a psychedelic user promoting it in an egotistical way.
Capitalist juice in here.
You know, yeah, it's like when I lost my ego, the first thing that came to mind was promoting how good it is to not have one. Like, oh, I'm ego free. I'm flying high.
See, the problem being is like, all right, so let's go ahead and light a joint for a second, real quick. So, what you want to go ahead and do is lay down your capitalist ideas. And you're going to want to go ahead and lay down your central ego of making things right.
Yeah, I'm also going to take up arms against the people who go, if everyone just did psychedelics, the world would be at peace. We'd just be one free loving community.
If everybody was a capitalist.
All right. We all do psychedelics and we live in the woods and we eat mushrooms and we share food and we all have sex with one another and nobody gets attached. Nobody gets detached.
And there is an arm movement for those who are listening.
We're just one big blob of conscious experience living freely in harmony. That's what would happen if we all did LSD and DMT together. Am I right?
There is an arm movement again for our audio viewers.
This is to my second point on this argument. The people who say that, psychedelics could cure all, that it could bring in the harmony humans so desperately need. Okay. You see this phone? It's an iPhone 16. If there's any product that is textbook capitalism, that is textbook materialism, it's the iPhone.
Oh my God.
The inventor of the iPhone, Steve Jobs, was a psychedelic user.
Oh my God.
He was an avid psychedelic user after he originally left Apple. And maybe before he used as well, but when he was making Pixar, he was using psychedelics. So this
He made Pixar?
Yeah, Steve Jobs made Pixar.
No, the fuck he didn't.
Yeah, he did. No. I've told you this before.
I'm sorry. I don't fucking hate this.
The board kicked him out of Apple. He went and tripped balls on LSD for a couple years, made Pixar, sold it, used the profits, bought back into Apple, became the main operator again.
No fucking way.
And so I'm just saying, for those who are like, psychedelics will bring harmony to the world, literally the king of capitalism, the king of materialism in a way, Steve Jobs, literally tripped balls for like a huge portion of his life. And he didn't go and present the iPhone like, oh, you know, I conquered my ego and now you can swipe.
I spit at you. No way.
Yeah.
No.
And that's a man who took his psychedelic experience and became even more successful materially. So I'm just going, it's not the cure. It's not the end-all, be-all. It's a fun thing to try, and I think people would benefit from experiencing it. But to make it the top, you know, like this is what everyone's missing, no, it's not. When you've tried psychedelics...
Oh, dude, I've tried from fucking peyote to LSD to trying fucking...
So, from your experience, would you say if everyone had a chance to try them, the whole world would be better?
No.
Thank you.
No. And I mean, not to go ahead and fucking too fine a point on it, but like, everybody that takes LSD or fucking peyote or fucking LSD or fucking...
Whatever gets you off.
Or MHD or whatever the new one is. Getting high doesn't make you smart.
Thank you.
I have been high for God knows how many years. But I have been absolutely miserable due to my intelligence, knowing that I have the fact that I have known what is known.
It's a burden, even.
Exactly. Knowing that everything is taxed.
Hey, yeah.
Knowing that everything is fucked to the fucking fucked back, even so. Let's say, okay, let's play a little game. Let's play a little game.
I'm ready.
All right. Let's say I sell you a property $160 tax. Unky Sam is going to take $20,000.
Yeah.
Minimal.
True.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same with, like, there's tax, and then when you think about credit cards. So credit cards incur a fee. Like, you can get cash back as a, like, a citizen, but business, somebody's paying the credit company a fee for the transaction.
Yeah.
And so
it's somebody that's getting, you know, a little bit.
There was some study, not a study, but just somebody did the math. I forget that exact number, but it was if you spend $50 with a credit card in X amount of transactions, it becomes a net negative. And I think it was like 16 transactions later, the entire $50 has been sucked away to the credit card company.
Minimal.
And so, and that's a tax in a way with a corporation. So,
yeah. Now let's say, for the fucking sake of argument, you need just bread.
Mm-hmm. Just bread. But a man cannot live off bread alone.
Okay. And now, go ahead.
But I'll say, yeah, just bread is all you need.
Toss it to me.
He's picking up the bread, guys. It fell on the floor. I'm a bit of a hard thrower. Almost made pitcher and t-ball. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you got the bread. What are you going to do with that bread?
Yummy bread. Yum. I'm going to go ahead and take
45%
of that. And then also what you sell me for that bread.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and toss you back that bread.
Okay, I got the bread back.
Yeah.
And you ate some of it.
Mm-hmm. 45% of it.
And then it's got spit all over it.
I had to eat crickets for you, you son of a bitch.
I'm taking you. We're coming. Exactly. We're going together. Exactly. Okay, so yeah, the bread is half of what it was.
Yeah. So now you have 50% of bread.
Yeah.
Which you got to go ahead and fucking live off of.
Well, I mean, that ain't good.
Exactly. Dude, we threw a fucking revolutionary over this fucking country over 10% off 10%.
That was when men cared a little bit more about getting bent over a barrel.
Oh my God.
You know, back in the day, that was considered an offense. And now it's almost a compliment.
Yeah, well, getting fucked over a barrel is now considered being a fucking...
It's now considered a virtue.
Oh, well, for 15%, well...
Oh. Okay, we'll do some topic transitions. But yeah, speaking to this one still, I hear Kamala saying a lot, and people on the left, when they talk about wealthy people.
Dude,
they say
the fact that fucking Donald Trump is using for
shit. They say, we're going to make sure the wealthy pay their fair share. Okay, pay their fair share. What the fuck is a fair share? And a fair share of what? Okay, it's one thing if the money is going to things people know about and care about and it helps people. But when you tell me you're about to take $600 million from Jeff Bezos and spend it on a study of how birds fuck when they're on cocaine. And you can look this study up. That's a real thing the government spent money on.
No fucking way.
Yeah, it is. I don't give two fucks if you take his money or not. He can keep the damn money. Because I know Jeff Bezos isn't going to be spending his damn money on how birds fuck under the influence of cocaine.
Okay. But, like, I want to go ahead and fucking be on the side with you, but, like, no fucking way.
Well, the theory is a lot of big scientists, or let's say universities or what have you, they're getting money pocketed by friends, like political friends. So they're like, hey, we're going to run this study on...
They're getting...
Incentive. Bribed, in a way. Like, we're going to run the study on how birds fuck with cocaine in their system, and it's going to cost $10 million. And then the university or the... facility that runs the tests, maybe they pocket $8 million, right? Maybe. And it goes to the friends of the political party. That's my thought.
For those who are listening, air quotes.
Well, that's, I'm just going, the paying your fair share has no meaning today, because what are you paying it towards? Genuinely, what is the fair share going to? If you want to talk about the roads in America, you know, being in pristine condition, and you tell me we're going to make rich people pay for pristine roads, and it happens, okay.
Well, I mean, it sounds like a revolving door.
But now it's just pay their fair share of what?
Dude, and you're right. Hey, give me that clink. Because, dude, respectfully, you're right. Because, like, fucking letting that revolve door of he's a senator, then he's a fucking...
and then he's a receiver. And
exactly.
And dude. Another thing I want to pick up is the people who go, no one should have all that money... There should be a cap on how much money someone can make, and then they can say, you won capitalism.
It feels like a revolving door.
You won capitalism. Like, you made $1 billion. All right, you won capitalism. Everything else is supposed to be dispersed. Here's the problem with that. It's because money is relative, it's not objective. We're in a fiat system. And so if Bezos, let's say he's worth $1 billion, right? If you look at the rate of money being inflated, if that man wasn't allowed to make any more money past $1 billion, in 100 years, he's only going to be worth $10 million.
Which,
I mean, you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, no, he'd be out the game.
We're about 30 or 40 years out from the average American being a millionaire just off inflation alone.
God, what is that name? Not transcribers. It's...
And true, why can't the government just spend less? I mean, that's off the table, apparently, spending less money.
Not transcribers.
Transformers.
Okay. Transmogrifiers. What is the name of it?
I'm not sure, man. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, the tip master can't fucking...
Okay, I'll finish out my point then.
Dante's Inferno.
It's just that money is relative, and any human that thinks that they can subject it to a judgment is so high-handed, it's laughable. He should only have $1 billion. You could have said your grandpa should have only had $1 million in the 1950s. He'd be poor today if he didn't make any more money.
Adorably poor.
He'd be poor. They're printing that money like nothing else, so it's all subjective. The money isn't what it used to be. When they're like, oh, They're so rich.
Yeah.
They're so rich. I mean, look at the past.
Yeah. Well, gold used to be like the fucking bottom line.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden we have NFTs, we have Bitcoin, we have
every currency under the sun. It's all subjective. So, let's get into, speaking of subjectivity.
Oh, are we?
Yeah, I want to talk about facts.
Oh.
So I have an issue with facts.
Oh, with like P. Diddy? Or are we going to go ahead and get some new territory?
Facts in general. On like a philosophical level, I have an issue with fact.
All right.
And I'll start it off with this example. And this is something that I think about a lot. Sorry guys, I'm really
Getting serious. Come on. I'm sorry, I'm getting mean with my boss. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's hit it. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think about facts? I'll just start with that.
Facts are made by the winners.
So they're somewhat subjective.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
And again, fair enough for those to hit me up in the chat and then be mean. Which you never will.
So there's a saying that Ben Shapiro made very popular, and this will kind of be the foundation of the topic.
Okay.
Ben Shapiro made the saying, facts don't care about your feelings, popular.
No.
Yeah. Like he kind of coined that phrase.
No.
Yeah. You know that.
No, I don't.
And so I was...
I'm very ignorant.
I was making an argument to somebody in the chat the other day. It's not true. It's actually the other way around. And that's one of the reasons why conservatives have such a hard time getting elected. The way that the world really works is feelings don't care about the facts. That's the law of the land. The law of the land is feelings don't care about the facts. Facts don't hold power.
Do you want to have Jordan Peterson on this show or no?
Of course I do. And he would agree with me because I'm going deep. I'm going deep into the memeology. You are
fucking two knuckles deep at this point.
And it's true, though.
I'm trying to keep this show ignorant as shit, and this man over here.
We're coming up on the realization of this. When you wonder why people are so divided, and you go to a comment section, there are people in the Trump comment section who genuinely believe he's Hitler. Like, Trump is Hitler.
Get the fuck out of my face.
And you can go to the Kamala comment section, and you'll have people legitimately believing she's a witch, part of the shadow cabal, what have you. Both of these things can be completely false, but feelings rule the day. Feelings have always ruled the day.
Just know that there are fucking false graves, and we will always be there to bury them up.
Yeah, we're here. We're here to bring light.
You're damn right.
The light between fact and feeling.
Like, me and my co-host, we might differ in opinions, but like, my God, he makes some good ones in between.
I bridge the gap. But no, the people who are so gung-ho on facts and specifics, they've got it all wrong. Like, a great example I would use is, let's say you watched a murder. Okay, you watched...
A whole murder?
Yeah. You watch someone commit a murder. Not only did you watch them commit a murder, you videotaped it. You videotaped a murder.
A whole murder.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're thinking to yourself, well, this is it. The case is closed. When I show this video, the guy who murdered this person is as good as locked up. That is the worst approach you could possibly have when it comes to the truth.
Again, chat, I'm over here.
The reason it's the worst approach is because you open yourself up to so many vulnerabilities. What if in your passion of having the video of this murder, you slip and say something that invalidates it in a courtroom? Or you slip and say something that can be used against you by the defense attorney? The truth has always been a battle of wills to a degree. The truth has always been a battle of wills. And so all fact that we know of, you have to understand, is derived from a battle of wills. 2 + 2 = 4 is because some man invented the number 2.
Yeah, because 2 + 2 = 3.
Somebody, that's a battle of will, right?
Yeah.
Somebody could have made that the actual case.
So, fairly odd parents or nah.
And so what's more interesting than fact is the underlying motives. The motives is what's true. The motives of human behavior is where the truth lies. It's not in the actual facts. It's the motives. And so it kills me when people who are right-wing or conservative are just like, these are the facts. Hey, leftists don't believe in the facts. Well, no shit. Nobody cares about the facts. Very few people. We're an emotional species. Most of us don't care about the facts. If you're... Okay, 80 to 90% of people grow up the religion they were born into.
Minimal.
So what does that tell you?
They're going to follow.
We're emotional.
Yeah.
Versus factual. And to that degree, since everything is a matter of will, it's always been an emotional thing. It's always been feelings over facts. That's the human condition, feelings over facts. And the Peterson Dawkins interview or discussion that happened recently.
Which, by the fact that fucking Dawkins is alive.
The power of atheism kept him going. But he presented himself as incredibly dense and closed off to what Peterson had to say. And I thought it did a disservice to him as a scientist or as a thinker in general. Because anytime Peterson wanted to go deeper, he was like, I just care about the facts. That's what he said.
I mean, I correct you, but like, you're right on this one. This one fucking time.
Well, and Peterson was like, well, what's the motive? Like, why do you care to know the facts in the first place?
Because you spent your entire goddamn life correcting Mother Teresa. Because you spent your entire fucking life writing Carl fucking Rogan. But you know, let's go ahead and sidewind that piece. Okay, well, let's go ahead and find out God. And then Carl fucking Sagan, he was, respectfully, he was, yeah. Well, you can't do that now, can you? Fucking Peterson bitch slap Carl fucking Rogan. Oh, you can't make a world without your goddamn perspective. Oh, well, you know what? What if I did? Respectfully, that was Peterson. No offense, but Peterson hit Carl Rogan with the fucking ring hand.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, if I'm wrong, go ahead and correct me, but like, my God. It was every argument. It was literally...
Yeah, he hit the gritty on him.
He fucking
chat and the fucking visuals hit this in the YouTube, but he hit him with that.
One of the better points of this discussion was Peterson had referenced all of Richard Dawkins' learning and studying had come through Christian society. Like the liberty to learn evolution and to discuss atheism openly.
Oh, you think?
And all of these things came via the proxy of Christian societies.
Oh.
Therefore, could you not argue that there's genuine merit in the values of Christianity that supersede scientific truth? Because those virtues or those values allowed for you even to partake in that study.
I mean, as a hedonist, I'd be like, okay, but lay it on. Lay it on. Lay it on.
Whether Peterson knows it or not, I think he was specifically outlining something I believe in, which is the will to power is one of the ultimate deciders of truth. The winners of history write the history, so they're always the good guys.
The good.
But it goes deeper, which is whatever value system facilitates life superiorly will in turn become the dominant writers of history.
Mm-hmm.
So like if we plan B and birth control our way out of existence, our American values don't mean anything.
Okay.
Well, because they're gone.
What does it matter to be good versus numbers? Hindi.
Good versus numbers?
Yeah. I mean, okay. So, the Hindi versus China, which is vastly different numbers. Who is better?
It depends.
In what capacity?
Well, I don't know the Hindi, but if the China conquered the Hindi, did they?
The Hindi has made their fucking life, which is Buddhism, Shintoism, and extra. It's a very deep lesson, AK. It's a very deep lesson. All right. So anybody that's got this deep in this fucking episode.
We just got our highest viewers concurrently on the stream for this episode. Let's go ahead and
then bring it on.
Okay, we got some knowledge about to be dropped by the Furman coming back from his cricket hiatus.
Well, I mean, I got very sick off that shit. But I did it for our viewers. Shintoism versus Buddhism versus fucking whatever the Japanese fucking vault. Is it better to touch people with good lessons? Or is it better to spread your lessons with good lessons? Hit me.
Better to touch people with good lessons, or better to spread good lessons through good lessons?
Yeah. See, what's funny is, like, after World War II, when you dropped that second atomic sun on Japan, those people spread that with more fervor than anything else alive.
They spread their belief?
They spread everything.
The Japanese?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was unfair to them, which our show, very unfair to them. Not saying that what we did was condoned. with our show. Very unfair. Hey. Very unfair.
But.
However, it did end it.
Yeah, well, I think that speaks to my belief of will to power.
You damn right.
Because I think that the reason America and the United States has had such a success in the world is because we got the closest of any nation in history to the proper value system. And being the closest aligned with the proper value system, we ended up with the most power. Mm. And I used to not think that way. I used to not think in a moral or ethical way. It was just power and power. But I actually think that God favors the society most in line with the proper value system.
Indeed, you are correct.
So I think.
However,
yeah.
Who is the smartest?
The smartest would be whoever lives in closest accordance to the value system. The true value system.
Mm-hmm. And who would that be? Is it the alien we dropped on the second sun? Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that's good. I'm saying we got the ability to do that.
Yeah, no. I'm not trying to go ahead and... I'm not trying to cause any controversy in the fucking chats, but...
Well, okay, you could make this argument. The closer you are to a proper value system, also the higher your capability for predation, for being a predator.
Which, I mean, again, very fair. You have made quite... a compelling argument, my friend.
If that was in the chat, feel free to chime in and give us some input on this.
Yeah. Again, I reach out the hand to you. Absolute fucking prestige across the board.
I mean, I tried. It didn't come easy.
IQ, and either way, they have made their way.
So, what do you got for me, Mr. Furman, for a grand out, like a grand topic to end on?
Let's go ahead and let's do Hedonist of the Week.
I agree with that, Phil. And yeah, let's do it. Hedonist of the Week. Because I don't have anybody in mind.
Let's go with Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman. What's he up to?
Oh, it's not what he's up to. It's what he's been up to.
Okay.
So, early on, what do you know Ron Perlman for?
He was, maybe I'm wrong about who this is, but he was in Parks and Rec.
Oh, right? Earlier?
Yeah, okay. Parks and Recs won. Hellboy. Yes, okay, yes. And then he was also in that one movie that was like the spinoff of Cloverfield.
Children of the Dark.
Yeah. Okay, so what has he been up to?
It's not what he has been up to, but it's what he was up to.
I was getting him mixed up at first with Swanson, the mustache man.
Oh my god.
Everybody's you know, but no, there. I know who you're talking about.
Everyone's
for real.
Been there. Look, Ron Perlman, thank you for Children of the Dark. You fucking protected children from Hollywood when they were going to go ahead and be Hollywood. You know what? Ron Perlman, I will never, ever say anything against you being a caveman-looking ass. Double brow, have an ass. Absolute fucking porcelain prince having ass. You are a king in my world. You know what? I proclaim you. You have been always a prince. And you know what? That makes you hedonist of the week.
Pretty boy. Pretty boy. Pretty boy.
He's a pretty boy. Pretty boy. He is.
Pretty boy. Pretty boy.
But what does that speak to his hedonism, though?
Because the fact that he can be a fucking human being and then fucking outstretch himself outside of being a human. He is able to be the most wholesome person I have ever. Not even met. You know what? I'm proud of him.
I'm proud of him.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, he has been a fucking unga bunga ass. I'm proud of him.
Proud. I'm so proud of you.
Come on, Ron Perlman.
I'm so proud of you.
You are the hedonist of the week.
Yeah.
All right, hit me with your fucking wholesome of the week.
I already gave it though.
Where?
Trump, McDonald's.
Hit me with that. Come on.
Trump at McDonald's was the light bringer of the week.
Ron Perlman, you being the hedonist of the week has to beat out Trump working McDonald's, which I already know. You working 17 goddamn movies. And Hellboy. You already beat.
So we'll go out on some word association. You ready? So, for those at home, us here at the False Grace Podcast, we stay hydrated, as always. And we do that via Red Bull, generally speaking. It's one of our preferred drinks of choice. Rudo. Now, Red Bull
Rudo.
Has a couple of claims Rudo. To fame. Vitalizes the body, vitalizes the mind. And, of course, gives you wings. And with those wings, I would ask that you fly high. Not just fly high in a divine sense, but in a material sense. Fly high above the haters, above all the naysayers, above fact and reason. Fly high into feelings and emotion, and manipulate this godforsaken world in a way that you see fitting.
Well, I mean, all I would ask is that in a world full of fucking negatives, you know, test positive. But like shit you're saying. Look, every single day you have to go ahead and perceive between happiness and sanity. Pick insanity.
Always pick it. Pick insanity. Hey, I'm talking to you.
Exactly.
I'm talking to you. Okay, I'm done pretending that I'm not. I'm talking to you.
You, precisely.
Pick insanity. Pick it. You will never regret it. Just look at us. It's been nice, guys.